Coming back to our discussion of the criminal justice system, and what we've seen this week in important decisions and statements is a tension in that criminal justice system that's never been fully resolved in America and perhaps never can be. It's the tension between defending a community and targeting a community, when an approach to fighting crime looks more like declaring war on the very community law enforcement is trying to protect. On the streets, restrictions on police officers' abilities to stop and frisk possible offenders has the mayor of New York worried.
I worry for my kids and I worry for your kids. I worry for you and I worry for me. Crime can come back anytime the criminals think that they're going to get away with things. Just cannot let that happen.
But a too aggressive approach to law enforcement, even in the midst of lower crime statistics in New York City, comes at a deeper cost to society, said Attorney General Eric Holder yesterday.
We must face the reality that, as it stands, our system is in too many ways broken. The course that we are on is far from sustainable, and it is our time, and it is our duty to identify those areas that we can improve in order to better advance the cause of justice for all Americans.
Of course, Mayor Bloomberg was talking about the stop and frisk decision in New York, and Eric Holder was talking about mandatory minimum sentencing and other issues in incarceration in the criminal justice system. But perhaps they were talking about the exact same thing. Joining us are two people who see both ends of the criminal justice system every day. Robin Steinberg, executive director of the Bronx Defenders. Robin, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Brian Stevenson is executive director of the Equal Justice Initiative. Brian, welcome to you.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
So, Brian, what's your reaction? These two things happening on the same day, Eric Holder speaking and the stop and frisk decision, really are a commentary on the front end and the back end of the criminal justice system. Are both broken in your view?
I think they are. I mean, we now have the highest rate of incarceration in the world. We're spending billions of dollars to keep hundreds of thousands of people in jails and prisons with no public safety benefit. I think what was significant about what the Attorney General said is that a lot of these sentences that keep people in prison for decades are not having any impact on public safety. These are low-level, nonviolent drug offenders. We're spending billions of dollars to incarcerate, and we don't need to do it, and we shouldn't do it. So I think it's a very significant development that he would change the policies to reduce some of these sentences. And similarly, I think the ruling from the federal judge that pushes back against New York's stop and frisk policy says something important about how we have to deal with racial profiling, how we have to think about the harm and injury we're creating when we target mostly black and brown men unfairly and burden them with no public safety benefit.
Robin Steinberg, does a stop and frisk policy as you see it being executed in the city of New York, does it lead to a caught-in-the-system mentality and condition for individuals that then results in the higher rate of incarceration?
It certainly leads to an enormous rift between the community that is being subjected to these stop-and-frisk tactics and the police department that are sworn to serve it. What's interesting about the stop-and-frisk tactics, despite the mayor's comments this morning about it, is that there's absolutely no evidence to show that stop-and-frisk has been the causal relationship that's brought crime down in New York City. In fact, if you look at the statistics carefully, what you see is that it has simply become a policing tool to monitor and oversee poor communities of color, and I would argue stigmatize and criminalize those communities, rather than a legitimate law enforcement tool that's been bringing crime down. Crime is coming down all across this country, and lots and lots of jurisdictions don't use stop and frisk. So to connect stop and frisk with the drop in crime simply isn't scientifically founded.
Well, we had a voice on this program from the city of Cincinnati who that city had an experience with over-aggressive law enforcement, a kind of stop and frisk style approach to law enforcement that raised the tension between police and the African-American community that then exploded in 2001. Do you see any evidence in New York that tensions are rising between communities and police?
I think tensions in New York City have been high for a very long time. What's interesting about the stop and frisk decision, if you look at it in the context of Attorney General Eric Holder's comments to the ABA, is that what you finally have is the chief prosecutor in this country acknowledging that mass incarceration is a moral and economic failure, and going further to actually talk about how we need to do nothing short of fundamentally shift our ideas about the criminal justice system away from prosecution and incarceration as being the only answer to prevention and reentry. What's fascinating about his speech and what is, I think, makes it a game changer is that he adopted much of the language of the criminal justice reform movement. When you begin to understand that, you can see how much of a game changer that speech was. Like, he talks with language acknowledging for the first time out loud and talking about ending racial disparity in sentencing, where black and Latino men receive more jail time than white men. He talks about ending unwise and counterproductive collateral consequences. He uses the phrase school-to-prison pipeline. And he finally talks about the vicious cycle of poverty, criminality, and incarceration that traps too many and weakens communities. Mm. I would argue that stop and frisk is part of that vicious cycle that weakens communities.
It's Robin Steinberg, Executive Director of the Bronx Defenders. Brian Stevenson, Eric Holder's on his way out. President Obama's in his second term. It's great that they're saying this now, but can it really be a game changer in the sense that this is a political initiative, or is it more of a postscript for two people who want to be said to have said this at an important moment?
No, I think it is a game changer. I mean, we'll have a couple of years left in the administration. This will have an immediate impact on the number of people being sent to prison. I think we can see a reduced number of people going to jails and prisons in the federal system. I think we can actually see the numbers start to come down, and that will have a huge impact. But I also think it's the kind of leadership that I hope will be replicated at the state side. We have to keep in mind that the federal government only incarcerates about 10% of the nation's 2.3 million people. And so we need to see this replicated on the state side. But I do think it is very significant for all the reasons that Robin mentioned. But I also think it's significant that he's talking about these issues in the way that he's discussing them. And when you think about things like stop and frisk and the presumption of guilt that black and brown boys and men are burdened with in this country and how that weighs on them. And to finally have the attorney general and the president acknowledging that burden and looking for ways to be responsive, it says something really significant about an issue that has really oppressed and marginalized too many communities of color, too many poor communities, too many people in this country for a very long time. And that is very significant in my mind.
If this is more than a speech, what has to happen next, Brian, before we go?
Well, I think we have to have laws reflect the policies. Congress should change the laws to make these changes permanent, and states need to replicate these interventions at the state level. And then I think we have to reinvest our dollars into prevention, into restoring, into reentry, into the kind of compassionate, hopeful public safety initiatives that improve our communities and our health.
Brian Stevenson, Executive Director of the Equal Justice Initiative. Robin Steinberg, if this is not just a speech, what do we need to see next before we go?
You know, Attorney General Eric Holder actually said it in his speech. He said it has to start with law enforcement. It has to start with the police on the street. It then moves to the prosecutors who make the decisions about when to charge and what to charge. The police make the decisions about who to charge, who we police, and how we define crime. And that simply has to be done in a more thoughtful, race-neutral, unbiased way so that all communities are policed equally and that we are using our limited resources to attack the real problems of public safety and crime, and not just sweeping people into the criminal justice system because we can, marginalizing them and making it impossible for them to reenter into the community.
Great discussion. Robin Steinberg, Executive Director of the Bronx Defenders. Brian Stevenson, Executive Director of the Equal Justice Initiative. I'll be out tomorrow, but please welcome Manoush Zomorodi. She'll be here. Have a great day. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.